So tonight's topic is permission. Kind of an odd topic. And I'll be talking primarily about internal permission. I think usually when we hear the word permission, we think primarily of interpersonal contexts. But I'll be talking primarily about the permissions we give or don't give to ourselves. And it's a funny word if you think about it. It's not really a word that plays a very large role in adult life in most circumstances. I mean, I can go several weeks at a time without hearing the word or thinking about it. A teenager's life is a little more constrained by permission, and the teenager's trying to figure out, you know, what can I get away with, and what do I need permission for, and what can I get away without permission, and all that. And it's quite a big deal in the life of a young child. A young child who's just trying to figure it all out. What do I feel? What do I think? How do I be? And permission, in many ways, is shaping that child's world. And of course, there are the explicit permissions, you know, the parent saying, you can do this or you can't do that. But then, perhaps even more powerful are the implicit permissions. And these would be very powerful in, say, the first year or year and a half of life before there's even language. You know, say the child goes into some kind of emotional state and the caregiver is triggered by that and has to withdraw and goes into, you know, whatever their issues are. The child experiences that as withdrawal, and that is incredibly threatening for a child, incredibly threatening for a young infant. It really, it brings up fear of death. You know, if I'm separated from my primary caregiver, I will die. And so it sends this very strong, may send this very strong message of, wow, I don't have permission to go into whatever that emotion was or whatever that state was, because I'll die if I go there, you know, that kind of thing. Now, how to say this? We human beings, we're such a collection of parts that are very developed and parts that are not very developed. And it's actually, I think, idiosyncratic in all of us, you know, what places are developed and what places aren't developed. Usually, there are some places within us that are very young, that are in arrested development. And these are places, they often have to do with early childhood stuff, often have to do with our core wounding. And unlike our grown-up mind, which can be very rational and think rational thoughts and all that, these can often be stuck in very early ways of thinking. And permission can be a very big deal at those levels, because permission is a very big deal at those ages. Now, often in the first few years of life, energetically, our lower chakras are forming and adapting. And, you know, if we had ideal Buddha-like parents, we would all walk around with, you know, incredibly radiant and healthy lower chakras, you know, that sort of thing. And so some permissions that might be associated with the first chakra are: do you have permission to be here? You know? And of course your head will say, well, of course I have permission to be here. But feel into that question. Does it feel like you have permission to be here? Does it feel like you have permission to be alive? Does it feel like you have permission to belong to a tribe, to belong to a group. Do you feel you have permission to get support? To support yourself, to get support from others, to ask for support. Some permissions associated with the second chakra. Now, the second chakra is interesting because there are issues specific to the second chakra, but the second chakra also often plays a role in ways that we are stuck in one extreme or another. You know, there are some people, say, who feel that they always have permission to give advice to other people, and other people might feel that they never have permission to give advice to other people, or always have permission to say something, or never have permission to say something, or, you know, like these kinds of extremes. The second chakra is very much about the water element. And in Chinese medicine, when we're not adapted to the water element very well, that's a feeling of fear. And when we are very well adapted to the water element, that's a quality, you could call it adaptability, ability to go with the flow. And similarly, the ability to choose a response situation by situation rather than just having, you know, a single unitary response, one size fits all kind of thing. Some other issues in the second chakra. Do you have permission to feel emotions? Do you have permission to feel all your emotions, you know? Do you have permission to enjoy sense experience? Colors, textures, smells, flavors. Do you have permission to be angry? Do you give yourself permission to be angry? Do you give yourself permission to feel sexual feelings? Those two, anger and sexuality, those two, of course, were very shamed by the Puritans. As far as the Puritans were concerned, nobody had permission to feel those, you know. And that has shaped so much of American culture. I mean, you know, corporate America also very much sends that kind of message. You know, at least the unskillful expression of either of those can get you a lot of trouble in with the HR department, that sort of thing. And both of them ultimately involve negotiating vulnerability well. I can't really have a skillful relationship to my anger or a skillful relationship to my sexuality unless I'm able to be vulnerable. Do I have permission to be vulnerable, you know? Some third chakra issues would be along the lines of, do I have permission to set boundaries? Do I have permission to say, I'm not okay with something? Do I have permission to take care of myself? Do I have permission to prioritize self-care? So any of these questions are just, they're wonderful questions to reflect on. In general, parts of our life where we feel limited or we feel like we're not as alive, we're not enjoying ourselves as much as other people seem to be enjoying themselves, it may be that there are some issues with permission there, you know. Now, sometimes with permission, sometimes it can be a relatively simple release, just it's almost a realization of, oh, wow, I've never been giving myself permission. I can give myself permission. And sometimes it's a very quick shift and it's just a matter of seeing it. Other times there really is a deep feeling to confront of, oh, wow, I really feel like I don't have permission around that. And then it's a matter of dropping into that inquiry and really getting to know that place that holds that. I wasn't planning to say a whole lot about interpersonal permission. I do have this suspicion that the people who have trouble negotiating a lot of basic external permission stuff probably haven't worked out a lot of their internal permission stuff. You know, if I don't give myself permission to be vulnerable, then I'm going to have a hard time understanding why, when I say or do things to other people, why they feel vulnerable, you know, that kind of thing. One thing I'll say also, going back to the topic of both anger and sexuality, they're very linked in many ways. The paradox is that, of course, if one is enlightened, if one is a Buddha, one's not going to be experiencing a whole lot of either of those. You know, one's going to be in this sort of transcendent bliss state. And yet, we can't get there by turning those feelings off. That's called spiritual bypassing, you know. And there's a lot of this in New Age circles. You know, oh, I never get angry. I'm too spiritual to get angry. Do you want to take a chair?
Actually, this is nice.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good to see you. One way to say it is that really enlightenment is a deep yes to life. And it's a deep yes to our own vital energies. And there's a way that we can't get there without saying yes to everything that we are. So I have a quote sheet, as I often do. Front of the sheet, just a couple poems, two poems of tremendous permission. This first one by Mary Oliver begins with the line, "You do not have to be good." And there's tremendous permission just in that one line, you know. You're not being graded on some perfection, you know. You're human. You're supposed to make mistakes, you know. It's just this very forgiving, accepting line. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. Kind of get the sense that she knows this landscape a bit. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving over the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the river. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. One of the most astonishing statements about permission, that poem. And similarly, and I don't know why this poem also mentions geese. I don't know what it is about geese. But at any rate, the title of the first poem is The Wild Geese. So the second poem, above the mountains, the geese turn into the light again, painting their black silhouettes on an open sky. Sometimes everything has to be inscribed across the heavens so you can find the one line already written inside you. Sometimes it takes a great sky to find that first bright and indescribable wedge of freedom in your own heart. Sometimes with the bones of the black sticks left when the fire has gone out, someone has written something new in the ashes of your life. You are not leaving, even as the light fades quickly. You are arriving. And I love the images of permission there. Like, do I really need everything written across the heavens just so I can give myself permission to be what I already am? You know, this kind of thing. And then a very famous quote on the back. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And so there's a lot of that's wonderful about that quote, but of course one of the things that's wonderful is that the more we give ourselves permission to practice self-love, self-compassion, self-healing, compassion toward others, the more we give ourselves permission, we really extend that permission in an energetic way to the people around us. This is one of the reasons that people feel so good, for example, when they're around the Dalai Lama. You know, there was one scientists who are observing, like, you know, basically anyone who's in like a 20-foot radius of the Dalai Lama has a huge smile on their face, and they just feel wonderful. And part of it is just the incredible energetic influence of this man. So a few other quotes. Your own mind is a sacred enclosure into which nothing harmful can enter except by your permission. From Gandhi, no one can hurt me without my permission. This is an interesting one. I think it's really about emotional hurt. I mean, obviously with physical hurt, someone could come behind me and club me and, you know, I wouldn't be giving them my permission. But as far as emotional hurt, the insult that really lands is the one that part of us believes, that part of us buys into. And it's almost like it's an insult because someone externally is confirming the painful thing that I already suspect about myself, you know? And so in that way, I'm giving permission to the world to hurt me in that way by believing in that painful thing. It's very tricky. From Joy Page, dream and give yourself permission to envision a you that you choose to be. From this woman I've never heard of, Ayanla Vazant. I gave myself permission to feel and experience all my emotions. In order to do that, I had to stop being afraid to feel. In order to do that, I taught myself to believe that no matter what I felt or what happened when I felt, it would be okay. The woman Rain, who will actually be leading the Sangha next week, she always liked to say, emotions just want to be felt. That's all emotions want. They want to be felt. From Meg Wolitzer, I don't know much about her. Faith Frank hired me, originally based on nothing. She took me in and she taught me things, and more than that, she gave me permission. I think that's what the people who change our lives always do. They give us permission to be the person we secretly really long to be, but maybe don't feel we're allowed to be. That's great. From the singer Janet Jackson, to be given permission to be confused and remain confused for as long as it takes would have been a huge gift. Think about that. Do you have permission to be confused? You know, such a human place to be, you know? From Shannon Adler, when you give yourself permission to communicate what matters to you in every situation, you will have peace despite rejection or disapproval. Putting a voice to yourself helps you to let go of the negative energy of fear and regret. And Avina Celeste tells us, you aren't waiting for someone to give you permission to live. You're waiting to get permission from yourself. It's okay to live the life you want. Mm.